You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Oh Behave is brought to you by Petco.com. Petco is a leading specialty retailer of premium pet food supplies and services, offering more than 10,000 high-quality pet-related products. Enter the code BEHAVE10, BEHAVE, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
It's Oh Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your Oh Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Say the name Lassie, and you immediately envision a smart collie with a sweet boy named Timmy. 50 years ago, well, maybe 51 to be precise, the Lassie show debuted on Sunday nights. It was a must-see show for families, starting back in 1954, and it ran until 1973. But how well, and the key word is well, do you know the Lassie legend? We're going to put your trivia talents to the test with our very special guest, John Provost, who played Timmy. Hey, welcome to the show, John.
Hi, thank you, Arden. It's great to be on the show.
You know, John, you're celebrating the 50th anniversary, 50-plus anniversary of the Lassie show. He has a book you all must go get. It's called, appropriately, Timmy's in the Well, the John Provost story that he co-authored with wife Lori Jacobson. So listeners, did Timmy really fall in the well? And who really had the final say in John landing his role? You'll get the answer to these questions and more right after this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. Oh Behave will be right back.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code BEHAVE, B-E-H-A-V-E, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/behave, B-E-H-A-V-E, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more.
If you ask the question, what do I want? What do I need? I'll take affection. I need time, I need love, I crave attention.
There's a new waiting by the door, with shaking tails and happy hearts, and running circles round the floor. That's always when the party starts.
They are my friends, they are my children, they are the first.
I Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available in iTunes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition. This is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the All Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our very special guest today is John Provost, who played the adorable, adventurous Timmy Martin in the TV classic Lassie. Now, 50-some years later, John continues to be dog's best friend. He serves on the board of governors for the Canine Companions for Independence. He won a TV Genesis Award on a story about dogs. He writes a column in Fido Friendly magazine, and he's touring the country with the new book, aptly titled Timmy's in the Well, the John Provost Story. You know, I'm really glad you're on the show, John, so let's just clear the air and separate Lassie fact from fiction. Did Timmy ever fall in a well?
You know, Arden, I thought I had. In the seven years that I was on the show, you know, Timmy fell off cliffs, you know, into abandoned mine shafts, into caves, into rivers, even into quicksand, but Timmy never did fall in a well, and we don't really know where that phrase came from, but it has followed me around my entire life like a tick. It just won't let go. And when we were writing the book, Lori and I were sitting there, we were trying to come up with a title, and we were stumped. And so Lori called a friend of hers and said, you know, gosh, we're really stuck. We've come up with all these, but nothing seems to work. And her friend just said, Lori, you've got to be kidding. Timmy's in the well. And we just, that's it. So, I may not have fallen in a well on the show, but, in life, we hit bumps in the roads and you know, fall in a well here and there and have to pull ourselves out, so.
Well, that's what I think is great about your book is because, yes, it has a lot of details about your years, your Lassie years, but, you know, you've gone through some of the things that you went through as a child actor. And then getting in the insurance business. Oh, my gosh, the 1960s hit you full face throttle, didn't it?
Oh, it sure did. You know, what people don't realize is that when I started Lassie when I was 7 years old, I had already been in seven movies and some early live television. I had worked with people like Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly and Jane Wyman and William Holden and Sterling Hayden and the list goes on, but, you know, everybody remembers Lassie, and rightly so, because, you know, I was in their living room every Sunday evening for 7 years. But, so it's a lot more than that. And then after Lassie, you know, I made three more movies and some more television, and then really got out of the business when I was 18 years old. I'd been working 15 years, so it was time for a break.
You know, that's remarkable, because I was doing a little nosing around your, sniffing around, because this is a pet show, with your bio, and you were really barely out of diapers when you debuted in So Big, starring Jane Wyman, right?
Oh, right. I was not quite 3 years old.
So do you remember any lines? Did you have any lines in that?
I did, and my only line was So Big, but no, you know, the first two movies, So Big, and then the next movie was The Country Girl with Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly. And
wow.
Those two, I was so young, Arden. Do you remember when you were three? No.
No, but I didn't fall in a well, but I got in
right.
trouble.
You know, those first couple of movies, I don't remember, you know, actually filming them. I have copies and, you know, I've seen
well,
them.
Well, wait a minute. Think about this, John. There's some actors that are adults that have filmed movies and they don't even remember them either, but I don't think it's because of the youth.
Right.
You know, the other question that people wanted to know, I mean, yes, you had some roles under your belt. I love the title Escapade in Japan or whatever. You played some kind of a kid role in a movie in Japan.
Right. That was actually, it was 1956. I was under contract with RKO. And Mom and I spent 3.5 months in Japan when I was 6 years old. And it was the very first movie filmed in Japan after the war.
So you're kidding.
It was an incredible experience. And boy, I'll tell you, I remember that. I mean, you know, I didn't know what sushi was back then. But boy, I sure found out.
Now, I had no idea. That's pretty much of a milestone to be in the first movie post-World War II.
Mm-hmm. No, it was.
Wow.
And also, it was the last movie that RKO made before they sold the studio to Desi and Lucy.
Okay, so here you are, this big star in Japan, you know, eating your sushi. And Lassie's been on the air for 3 years, and I guess there's some changes going on with the cast. So who really had the final say in your selection?
Well, when I got back from Japan, people had been talking behind the scenes that they wanted to see me when I got back for the role of Timmy. And they knew I could act because they'd seen the movies, and I had the look that they wanted. So it was pretty much a shoe-in, except they didn't know how Lassie and I would react and how we would get along, because you had to have that genuine bonding, that genuine feeling. You couldn't fake it. So I actually went and lived with Rudd Weatherwax and Lassie on his ranch out in the San Fernando Valley for about 3 days to see how Lassie and I, you know, got along. Lassie was the one that really closed the deal for me. I always like to say that Lassie gave me 2 paws up. This is a
That's
dog
great.
Show.
So she wasn't really, well, we'll go into the she part in a minute, but wasn't quite a diva dog, was Lassie, or all
no.
the Lassies.
No, you know, the dogs, they were all great. You know, of course, they were all males.
That's what I was alluding to. I mean, you can't check under the hood on a collie, I mean, on a show.
Well,
you can't
the amazing part was every year we would have an episode where Lassie would have puppies. And, you know, so you've got this male dog and he's, you know, laying down, and they take about, you know, 10 little puppies and stick them all around him, and he's got to just sit there for like 2 minutes while they get the shot, you know. The dogs were great, and I worked with 3 different dogs in 7 years. I worked with the son of Pal. I worked with him for 1 year. I worked with his son for 1 year, and then the grandson for 5 years.
Wow.
So he and I, he's the one that I really bonded with.
What were the personalities like for Lassie? I mean, he seemed to always make his mark. I mean, I've never heard any nasty comments about Lassie being like a real troublemaker on the set.
Well, you know, the adults, I mean, you know, the actors, June Lockhart, Hugh Riley, they made more mistakes than Lassie did. No, it's true, we did. But
wow.
The dogs were super. And Baby, who was the last one that I worked with for 5 years, he was so intelligent. He was spooky. I mean, it was kind of scary, because we'd be doing a scene, and once the scene is done to the director's liking, he says, cut, print. And that means that's the one they're going to use. Well, Lassie would know the minute the director would say, cut, print, he'd leave the set. He'd go
kidding.
Oh, no. His Rudd wouldn't even have to tell him. He'd just he'd go over to his little area where he rested, and he knew he did it right. So he was amazing, and he was really one of Rudd's favorite dogs. He loved Pal, who was, you know, the original Lassie, but Baby was also one of his favorite dogs, and I really did love that dog.
Well, I'm glad, and you know, it's nice to hear someone who had a pleasant time as a child actor, and I was really surprised. You really are like TV's first child superstar, but you only got, what, like $350 a week?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Not a lot things, of kibble.
Things were different back then. And the show is still on in about 50 countries. I have a website. It's just my name, johnprovost.com. And I get emails from all over the world. But the other side of that story is I haven't received a residual payment in over 40 years. But it's everybody. I mean, all of the shows from that era, you know, Leave It to Beaver, My Three Sons, The Donna Reed Show, Dennis the Menace, nobody gets anything for those shows. Well, the producers, of course, but none of the actors do. And it's just the way it was. It wasn't in the contracts, and, you know, it's just part of reality.
Well, no one really, you know, could foresee what would have happened with these shows.
No, that's what I'm saying. Who would have thought? I mean, you know, especially Black and White. I mean, you know, we did over 250 half-hour episodes in 7 years, and only 5 of those were in color.
Wow.
Yeah. I was in a documentary last year that's shown on PBS stations, and it's called On the Edge of Black and White, and it's about when television went from black and white to color, because that's right where I was.
Wow. So Lassie really was a black and white dog, huh? Not a collie color,
right.
Huh? She could go incognito out in the public because everybody thought she was black and white, right?
Right.
Now, you weren't the first boy that paired with Lassie. In fact, it's sort of like, it seems like it was a soap opera scene behind the show itself. This Tommy Rettig, who was played Jeff Miller. So bring us to the pre-Timmy days on the Lassie show. Set us up what the storyline was.
Well, Tommy started the show in 1954. And in the 3 years, Tommy, I mean, he grew up. He was 17 years old. He wanted out of that part.
Okay.
And the producers saw that, you know, they had made a mistake. They had hired a too old of a boy. So they wanted a younger boy, and like I said, they were having trouble finding the kid, but then they found me, and they said, okay, you're going to be Timmy. And so there was a transition period where Timmy was actually a runaway. I was a runaway orphan, and Lassie found me hiding in the barn. And so Tommy and his mom and his grandfather kind of took me in, and they were, you know, trying to find out where I was from and this and that. And it turned out that Tommy was going away to school. So he ended up giving me Lassie. He went away to school. Gramps died. Mom had to sell the farm. So here's the soap opera coming. So
okay.
Mom sells the farm to the Martins, to Paul and Ruth Martin. Well, when escrow closes, they get the farm, they get the truck, they get the dog and the boy. We're all part of the deal. And but then the other part is everybody remembers June Lockhart and Hugh Riley as being my parents. Well, my first set of parents were Cloris Leachman, played Ruth Martin, and a man by the name of John Shepard played Paul. Well, Cloris, you know, she's got a little different demeanor than June, and she decided...
Well, we saw her on Dancing with the Stars, anything but shy and pure.
Oh, yeah. And she was even wilder back then.
Oh, so, I can imagine.
So she wanted out of the part, and so they let her go, and they had to let John go also. And so one Sunday, I had one set of parents. The next Sunday, it was June Lockhart and Hugh Riley. But Arden, the amazing thing is, the studio didn't get one letter.
Really?
They didn't care. All they were doing was watching The Boy and the Dog, because it was all about. So, and then June and Hugh, you know, played my parents for 6 years.
Wow. I mean, here you are, this young kid, and, you know, you have your own family, and wow, that is quite a soap opera. That makes Peyton Place look pale, doesn't it?
Oh, and the other side of it is, I was never adopted.
Oh.
There was never one episode where they actually adopted me. I just was, you know, came with the deal.
Man. You know, one time I bought a house in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. I used to work at Prevention Magazine, and it came with an outside cat. And I loved that cat. It was great. And then when I sold it, I had to make sure that the people buying it would take care of the cat.
Uh-huh.
But I never had a little boy come with an escrow in all the years I bought houses.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, boy.
Well, speaking of that, you played a little, had some career in insurance and housing and all that, didn't you, after the last years?
Yeah, I actually, after I graduated from college, I majored in psychology and minored in special ed and ended up going into real estate. So figure that one out. And I did that for a little over 20 years, and then in between we'd had a new Lassie series in 89-90. Did that for 2 years. It was really a lot of fun. One thing that was neat about the new series was the producer, Al Burton, wanted to use people that had worked with Lassie in the past. So Tommy Rettig did an episode, June Lockhart did an episode, Roddy McDowell, who was in the original Lassie Come Home with Elizabeth Taylor. He did an episode, which was great. I'd never met the man. What a super guy. And Margaret O'Brien had done a Lassie movie before the series, and she did an episode. So that was really a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. You know, we're listening to John Provost. He played Timmy in the classic TV series Lassie. We're going to learn a little bit more about what John's up to, and I want you all to know he's got a great book. It's aptly called Timmy's in the Well, the John Provost story that he co-wrote with his wife, Lori Jacobson. We're going to learn more about Lassie and John right after this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. Obehave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to FleurUp.com and use the code OBEHAVE at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word OHBEHAVE.
Isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code BEHAVE10, BEHAVE, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
Hello?
Danica, where have you been?
Oh, Graham, I've been busy, you know, racing, GoDaddy girl.
Oh, I built my own online store with GoDaddy.
Really? Let me see. Grandma'sAuction.com? Hey, aren't those Grandpa's golf clubs?
Grandma needs her bingo money.
Use promo code BEHAVE10, BEHAVE, the number 10, and get a .com domain name for just $7.49 at GoDaddy.com.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City. With your host, Diane West, celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Rachel Ray, and you're listening to Obehave with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Obehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Obehave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guest today is a very talented and dog-loving guy by the name of John Provost. Yes, he is Timmy from Lassie, but he has a life, he has a wife, he has kids, and he now has a new dog named Buddy, who is not a collie. So, John, I'm glad you're on our show. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now, and we'll get back to some Lassie trivia at the end, but, you know, I give you a big paws up for the many, many years that you've been involved as a member of the Canine Companions for Independence. You know, it seems like someone said that you must have canine in your genes, in your DNA. Is that right?
I must. I really must. I'll have to do one of those DNA tests and see what...
Yeah, we did that with my dog. It was hilarious.
I've got inside of me here.
But so yeah, let's talk about the Canine Companions for Independence.
You know, Canine Companions is a national organization that supplies service dogs to people that have disabilities other than blindness, because guide dogs takes care of that. And I have been on the Northwest Board of Canine Companions for over 20 years. The national headquarters and the Northwest headquarters are situated in Sonoma County in Northern California, where I live. And, you know, I've just always, always been involved with animals, and I mean, way before Lassie. But one thing that Red Weatherwax would do, when we were filming, when we were on hiatus during the summer, Lassie and I would travel the country for about a month promoting the show.
Okay.
And we would go to all the major cities. And if there happened to be a children's hospital, Red insisted that Lassie and I go visit the kids. Now, you know, this is like 1959, 1960. I mean, nobody even had coined the word of a therapy dog. They didn't let dogs in hospitals back then, but they would let Timmy and Lassie in. You know, and I'm 9, 10, 11 years old, and I'm seeing these kids that, you know, have polio, or they're in traction because of an accident, or they've been disfigured in a fire. But to see what it did to them when they saw Timmy and Lassie, you know, in their hospital room, it made them forget, you know, where they were. And a lot of these kids back then, you know, they weren't even in the same town that their family was in.
Wow.
So it really had a lasting impression on me. And I think that's one reason that, you know, I've been involved with organizations like CCNI, you know, for my entire life. It really, really affected me in a very positive way. So, you know, it's just a super organization. And then I also do fundraising for shelters, no-kill shelters. I do whatever I can because it's so important. And especially today, you know, there's so many dogs out there that need to be rescued. And you know, people need to practice responsible pet ownership. And so, I try to promote that.
Well, you and Lori, your wife, did. I mean, I know you love the collie breed, and you used to have a beagle named Barney. But somehow, this little dog in need that you both named Buddy, you guys both said he's the one. So let's talk about the Buddy story, if you would.
Well, I've always had dogs, but I've always raised my dogs or my cats from, you know, a puppy or a kitten. You know, when we lost Barney last year, it was right when the book was out, and I was on the road the whole year, and so I didn't want to get a dog because I wanted to be home to bond with him. And we were talking, and he said, you know, we're going to do something we've never done, and we're going to rescue a dog because it's so important. So after about a month of searching at shelters and online and all the different resources that are out there, we found Buddy, and he had been an abused, neglected dog. We thought, or the shelter thought, he was about 3 years old. We just found out from our vet, because we had to take him in, and from x-rays and things, found out that he's closer to 8 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
But I know, but that's all fine. I mean, you know, that's great with us. We love him, and it's just given us so much pleasure, and we've only had him for 4 months, but the changes that we've seen in him are just amazing. I mean, he's a new guy. He's not the guy we got 4 months ago.
What was the old Buddy? What's the new Buddy?
Well, the old Buddy was full of fear, and he was unsure of things, and he didn't even know, you know, what a dog bed was. He didn't know what a toy was. He didn't know anything. But he does now, and he didn't. And the main thing he didn't know what love was.
Mm-hmm.
But now he does, and we just get such a kick out of him. And
you know where this is going to happen now. I'm seeing a second book coming out here, John.
It could be. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we had all these expectations, and it's like we were thinking, like, you know, getting a rescue dog is like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
But it's all good.
Well, I agree. I have two rescue dogs, Chipper and Cleo. Chipper because I want to learn how to play golf better, even though she's a girl. So she's got that Lassie syndrome with the gender bender going. But it was amazing. It seems like at 3, 6, 9 months and a year, you see this blossoming of these dogs that have been bounced around different shelters. And then they finally realize, hey, and this is a keeper. I get to stay. Now, here comes my real self, which could be have some little issues and some things that are very beautiful. But as long as you're clear and consistent, it seems like that's what they want. They want to know what they can count on from you, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's, I'll tell you, I thought I knew a lot. We are learning so much. It's just great. It is, it's super. It really, really is super. And I just, you know, would encourage anybody, if they're looking for a pet, to please, you know, to go and rescue, because they really need it. And they give it back to you 100%, 110%. So.
Oh, I have to agree. And I'm also happy that the one thing that we do have in common besides the love of pets is we're both affiliated with Fido Friendly. And I loved your story about you adopting Buddy that was in the April issue of Fido Friendly. And I mean, can you talk a little bit about how you got involved with Fido Friendly?
Sure. Well, as a matter of fact, Lori, my wife, she has written for Fido Friendly a lot longer than I did. So she just put in a good word for me. You know?
That helps.
That, oh, hey, it
who's
always
this
helps
guy,
you to know somebody.
Timmy? What are you talking about?
You got to know somebody on the inside, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
well,
no,
the pay is so great now, let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. But, oh, it's, you know, it's really the first time I've ever done anything like this, and it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, really good tips for people, like looking at pet finders and working with shelters. And, you know, there are so many great dogs and cats out there that really just need a good home. And I don't know about you, but can you imagine what your life would have been like without Lassie or a dog? I wonder what kind of personality.
Not at all. No, I can't even imagine it. You know, it was like I said earlier, you know, I'd grown up with animals. I mean, before Lassie, when I was, you know, a young child, you know, we had a goat, my sister had a horse, I had a pony, you know, we had dogs and cats and pigeons and you name it. So I was kind of raised on a suburban farm, I guess you might say.
Well, I think I love an excerpt from your book. You said that your wife, Lori, referring to her, you said, "She tells me I was meant to play second fiddle to a dog my whole life through. That suits me just fine."
That's right. I don't mind it at all.
Now, trivia time. Okay. For the folks listening out there, you had that wonderful, delightful little checkerboard shirt and jeans that seemed to be your classic outfit on Lassie. Just where right. in the heck is that outfit these days?
Well, actually, the entire outfit is in the Smithsonian Museum in Washington. And
wow.
Yeah, I was contacted quite a few years ago about if I had something to donate. And, you know, I didn't have anything that I knew of, so I called my mom and she said, "Well, I never told you this, but I have your whole outfit." And I said, "Oh, you're kidding." And so she sent it to me and I opened it up and, you know, this incredible feeling of deja vu came over me. And my son, Ryan, was probably around 8 at the time, and Timmy wore these little high-top tennis shoes, and they were just the right size for Ryan. And he goes, "Oh, Daddy, can I have the shoes?" And I said, "No, son." I said, "This is going
this
to
be a big deal."
This is a big deal. I said, "But we're going to pack it up, mail it off, but we're going to go to the shoe store, and I'll get you a pair of high tops." So took care of that. But no, that was really a great honor. And then in 1994, I got my a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
So that's awesome.
That was another milestone. But here's the great part. Lassie has 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. One for television and one for movies, and I just have mine for television. But that's fine.
Hey, that's okay. I think all the Lassies up in Dog Heaven are like rooting for you, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. Sure.
Now, the outfit, I understand, at the Smithsonian, you're next to the Fonz leather jacket and Archie Bunker's
And Archie Bunker's chair. Yeah,
it
was great. Cause they invited the whole family. We all and my parents. We all went back when they opened the exhibit, and it was amazing because that was the first thing you saw when you walked in was Timmy's outfit in the middle, and then Archie's chair and the Fonz's jacket.
Wow, that's great. Now, the other thing I thought was fun is one of my favorite childhood movies was The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes with the young Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
You actually were in that movie, right?
Right. That was the last movie I did. It was in 1968. I just turned 18. And that's when I said, you know, boy, I've been working for 15 years. I think I'm going to take a break.
Now, you did sort of, if we use the literary license, quote, fall in the well for a little bit of time in your life. Like a lot of us, we hit the speed bumps and all. Do you want to talk about that or what got you out of it?
Oh, sure, sure. No, it's, you know, it's, I was, Lori and I will be celebrating we just did celebrate our 10th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
And prior to that, I'd been with my first wife for almost 17 years and married for 14 years. And, you know, all of a sudden we were in Splitsville, and it wasn't something that, you know, I was wanting to do, but it's just, you know, how things happen. And you know, I had a very depressed time in my life. Mm-hmm. But with my kids and my family and friends, you know, you just you get through that, and you know, life is great now, and things are good, and you know, we just have to get over those bumps in the road. And on this time, I didn't have Lassie to help pull me out of the well. I had to get another lifeline.
Yeah. I always find that if somebody led a charmed life, they really haven't lived life.
No, it's all a learning experience. I mean, you know, we have to learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, no, it's things that you have to do and have to go through. And that's one thing about that we wanted to get across in the book. The book isn't just, you know, from my point of view. I mean, we interviewed hundreds of people and contemporaries of my time, you know, people like Paul Peterson and Jay North, you know, who was Dennis the Menace, and people like Davy Jones from the Monkees, you know, people that I knew and that were in the business. We were all in it together. And then how it affected my family and my brother and my sister and just, you know, what it was all like growing up in the industry when television was a brand new thing. It was, you know, everything was changing. And so, you know, we really tried to get a lot of information in there, and it takes people back to where they were at that time, too, in their lives.
Your book is called Timmy's in the Well, the John Provo Story, and it is available everywhere. You also have a nice website I checked out, johnprovost.com, and for the one or two people that don't know how to spell your name, it's JonProvost.com. So don't be going looking for Timmy.com, because it's under JohnProvost.com. And I think that I'm very charmed and delighted that you have been a guest on my show, but I'm really wanting to know, this is a very tough question for you. What in the heck? Are you playing Prancer in a TV movie, Elf Sparkle Meets Christmas?
Well, it's yes, I guess so, you know. hey, you know, it just never stops. That's what
there
I mean.
You go.
It just goes on and on and on, and new opportunities come up. And so, yeah, I was one of Santa's reindeer.
Oh, my gosh. Is it a voiceover, or are you actually a prancer? Are you become a reindeer now? Or?
No, just the voice.
Okay, all right. Just get that clarified for the record, too. The other thing I want to clarify is, I know your mom was always on the set, but there was one time, I guess, she wasn't, and there was trouble on the Lassie set. Oh, my gosh, Lassie and you were in trouble. Take us back to that scene on the raft.
Well, we had one scene that we were doing where they couldn't rehearse it, and they couldn't use doubles for me or Lassie because they had to see our faces.
Okay.
And the situation was, Lassie and I were on a raft that I had built, and we were on a river. It was the Sonora River in the Sierras, and we were lost and trying to get back to civilization. And the raft was to go into some white water and break apart, and Lassie and I were thrown into the rapids and then separated. And like I said, they couldn't rehearse it. So we're going along, and the raft breaks up, and we're given the cue to jump into the water, and we jump in, and I hit the white water and was pulled under. I hit a huge rock that was under the water. It knocked all the air out of me. I came up, I'm, you know, swallowing water, I'm going down for the third time. I'm screaming. I'm doing exactly what the director told me to do. So they think I'm just acting. Well, I'm not.
Oh, no.
Well, and then they had two men in wet, and this was in the wintertime. It was freezing. They had two men in wetsuits to jump in and pull Lassie out. For me, they had a rope across the river that I was supposed to grab once I got out of the camera range. Well, I was exhausted. I couldn't grab the rope. I went down the river, and my stunt double, a man, he saw I was in trouble. He jumped in the water to pull me out, and he kind of threw me towards the bank, and then a couple men pulled me out, and then he got pulled under in some rapids, and he almost drowned.
Oh, my gosh.
So, they would never do anything like this today. But, you know, they could superimpose with, you know, computer, my face onto a double, you know, somebody else. But no, both Lassie and I almost ate it that day.
But, so no safety net back then and no residuals. Darn it.
I know. Boy, they just they do things differently today, I'll tell you.
Oh, my gosh. So I know we can go to the johnprovost.com website and find out where you're going to be out and about in this year. And also you're involved with the Canine Companions for Independence. People need to check out your column and writings in Fido Friendly Magazine. And especially get the book, Timmy's in the Well. The John Provost story. Or anything else you want to add that maybe we just hadn't really realized? You've really stunned me with some of these tidbits of Lassie trivia.
I don't know. I think we probably pretty much covered quite a bit.
But is there
one
any?
Thing, oh, one thing I'd like to, is that, you know, the Weatherwax family, Bob Weatherwax, now has the 10th generation Lassie.
Oh, wow.
Direct descendant from Powell. And, you know, I just think it's great that they're continuing that bloodline, because if they don't, then there would be no more Lassies.
Well, Lassie is always going to be with us here and now and forever. And I'm very happy that you, John, have been a guest on our show. Any last message you want to deliver to all the folks out there that really dig dogs and pets, and maybe something that dogs have brought to you?
Well, just, you know, they are our best friend, and they love us, and we love them, and we just need to, you know, be responsible pet owners and spay and neuter your pets, and you know, just when you do get an animal, realize that it's a lifelong commitment. It's not something that you can just, you know, pick up and then 2 weeks later decide, I don't want this. So people really have to take the time and love their animals.
I think that's a great pause up to you, John, on that. Again, I'm so stoked that we had John Provost on our show, Timmy from Lassie, but he's much more than Timmy from the Lassie Show. He has dedicated his whole entire life to bettering the lives of dogs and cats and, yeah, us two-leggers too. So I'm very happy that he's been a guest on our show. I also want to take this time to thank my very cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen each and every week. I'm inviting all of you to tune in to all the shows on Pet Life Radio, the world's number one pet podcast network. We are guaranteed to please people who love dogs, cats, birds, fish, lizards, and more. Oh my. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand. This is the place for a special paparazzi treat, only on PetLifeRadio.com.